Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for being with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Dr. Tom Anastasi back on the show. Tom is the author of The Successful Entrepreneur, American Dream Done Right. He's a professor at, he teaches leadership, I should say, at the Harvard University's School of Public Health and is an MBA director, the MBA director, I should say, at the Daniel Webster College. And he's a member of our Brain Trust. Tom Anastasi, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
It's good to have you back, Tom. The last time you were here, we talked about startups. We kind of went through a little tour of what it takes to start up a business, get one out of the ground, to dig it out of the dirt, to scratch it out on the back of a number 10 sack at the kitchen table, and then make it into something. So now this time we're gonna assume that we've got that little business up and running. We've named it. We've decided whether we're going to be what kind of an entity we're going to be. Are we going to be a sole proprietor? Are we going to be an LLC or a sub S? And maybe that's one place we could start at a little bit. I don't think we talked about that last time. Tom, is what kind, you know, we're at that stage where we've got the business going. We opened up a checking account at the bank. We've named it. We know what we want to do. But now that we got this thing, what's it going to look like legally? What's the from a legal standpoint? Is it going to be a sole proprietorship, which is easy? We've already got that basically, or is it going to be something structured, like legally structured, like a limited liability company or a sub S? What do you think?
You know, that's something definitely talk to a lawyer about. But in most cases,
and an accountant,
mm-hmm. they really know, and it's different for every state. But for most people, a sub-S or even an LLC is generally going to be your structure of choice because it's going to offer you the most protection.
Right.
However, one of the things you have to be careful of is that your suppliers and your creditors and banks, they're going to realize that you don't have personal liability, and that's going to make it much more difficult to do business in some cases.
Well, here's how you. One of the things about that is, the first, let's point out that the reason to go with an LLC or a sub S is to create what's called a corporate veil between the liabilities of your company and your own assets, your personal assets, right, Tom?
Correct.
And so my attorney experts, Tom, say you should incorporate early and often.
Yes, absolutely.
And they always think that's a good idea. When they say incorporate, that could also mean, that's a term used to mean not only making a corporation, but also LLCs are included in that. But the way creditors and banks get around that problem, and the reason why that shouldn't be a stumbling block, is they just have you sign twice. Once as the president of your entity, and once as the individual.
Correct. Now, the problem is you don't have the protection of that corporate veil anymore because you've signed as a personal guarantor.
Right.
Now,
but there's nothing you can do about that, Tom. I mean, as a small business owner, you're not going to be able to do business if you don't do that.
Well, with banks, most of the time you're going to have to put up your personal assets,
yeah.
Which is kind of negates the reason for becoming a corporation. However, with suppliers, they're all going to say, we want you to guarantee this personally.
Yeah.
And if you say, I'm sorry, my accountant told me never to guarantee anything personally, I found when I was in LLC, most times the suppliers will say, okay, that's okay, we'll sign it as the corporation. So they're always going to ask for it.
Oh, yeah.
If you tell them no,
mm-hmm.
You're still going to be able to do business. They're not going to want you to walk out.
But you're not going to be able to do that with your bank.
No.
For a long, long time, you're going to have to sign twice.
Yep.
And but the other thing, Here's the way I always looked at the corporate veil, Tom. Not so much to protect me from debts that I would incur as a company, because as a small business, because I always felt like me and my business were one and the same in those terms. But from a liability standpoint.
Oh, 100%.
That's the biggie for the corporate veil, is the liability against accidents, things like that, from the public.
Right, because if somebody slips and falls or a frivolous lawsuit, your house is now in play if you don't have an LLC and you don't want that.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Tom to talk to us about a little bit, so a little bit more on this corporate veil thing. And maybe when is the right time to incorporate? We've talked about this in the past, but it's been a while. So we're going to do that with Tom Anastasia right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. I promise. We'll be right back.
At least the mystery is gone.
Mr. Lindsey Buckingham bringing us back. That's one man, one guitar, one voice. If you ever see, you ever get a chance to see him perform that, you can YouTube it, by the way. Lindsey Buckingham, the song is Big Love. YouTube that and watch him play that guitar. It's an incredible, I saw him do it in person one time on stage, and that's an incredible performance. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there that will help you with your small business. And don't forget to take the poll while you're there on the homepage. And when you click on the answer that you want and submit it, you'll get to see how your answer stacks with everybody else. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead, and all the other stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Tom Anastasi. Dr. Tom Anastasi is the author of The Successful Entrepreneur. He and I are talking about just beyond the startup stage. Now you have a business. You know, Tom, you're sort of like the dog who chased the car and caught it. now that I've got it, what do I do with it?
Exactly.
and we were talking about whether to incorporate or do a corporation, a sub S or an LLC in the early days, or stay as a sole proprietor. And primarily for the corporate veil protection that one of those could offer you. One of the things that I always tell people, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this, is I tell people to save the $500 that it's going to cost to incorporate, or whatever it takes, $350 or $1,000, whatever, wherever you are. Save that money for now, and don't incorporate until you have employees. And here's why I tell them that. Because until you have employees, everything that happens in your business, you're the one who's causing it. So even if you have a corporation, and if you run over somebody or they fall in your business, it's, you know, you're the only one who could have caused it. So they're going to get to your personal stuff anyway. What do you think?
You know, that makes sense.
And use that money for incorporating on marketing and technology, that sort of thing.
Right, because that kind of gets to something I always talk about. People say, what's the difference between business school and real life? Well, in business school, you have all the money to do everything you need.
Right.
There's
no shortage of monopoly money in business school, is there?
No, there's not. But unfortunately, you take the monopoly money down to your supplier. They're not gonna take it in real life.
Right.
And that's really a judgment call. But I would say for most businesses, when they get going, that can make a lot of sense. And get going and get your feet wet and really get the business going. If you have the $500, $600, then I would say go ahead and do it up front. But the reality is, if you've got to make tough choices, again, talk to your lawyer and accountant and see what they say. But I would say most of the times the lawyer and the accountant are going to agree with you, unless you're in a high-risk business.
Right.
Then, really start thinking about spending money well, because undercapitalization is one of the main reasons business failed.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've said this many times on the show and other places, Tom. Blassingame's second law of small business is it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Mm-hmm.
because we're all undercapitalized. And so, but the thing about the trigger, though, what I always say the trigger for incorporating is when you hire an employee, and that person could possibly create a liability scenario, then that keeps the liability between the employee and the company. Those two are on the hook, not your personal. You can stand behind the corporate veil at that point. And that's kind of the point that I make. Also, the bigger the contract that you have to sign, the mm-hmm. more you get into bigger contracts, that's another trigger. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, because your liability increases as the business becomes more successful.
Right.
And you also have the whole frivolous lawsuit thing to worry about.
Right.
When my wife and I owned a miniature golf course, we had no idea how many frivolous lawsuits there would be.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned the hard way about something called an ex parte attachment. And my wife was pregnant, and we were literally in the hospital having our daughter, and somebody puts an attachment on our house, and we weren't even there.
Wow.
They go in, and we ended up getting the lawsuit thrown out, but, you know, it cost us $10,000
wow.
to do it. But they put a $100,000 lien on our house, and we weren't even there to defend it.
Wow.
And it was, I learned a lot about business that day.
I bet you did. So let's move on now. We've got our business. We decided that, you know, what we're going to do about whether to incorporate or not. And the next thing to do, obviously, is we got to start finding some customers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how do we do that? Where do we get started?
Okay. What you need to do is get massive amounts of people to know that you are now in business. And maybe you do this with a newspaper ad. Maybe you do this with personal selling. You just go and call every single person that is a potential customer, especially if you're doing business to business. And all you do is say, I'm in this business, I'd like to send you some information, or could you check
mm-hmm.
out my website?
Mm-hmm.
A very neat trick that I found for business to business is you say, I'm going to be in your area. Could I just stop by for 5 minutes to introduce myself and let you know who I am and
That's
what
classic.
I do?
That's classic.
Even if you're not going to be in the area.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yes, and most people will give you 5 minutes. If
yeah.
you sit there and say, could I have an hour,
mm-hmm.
they're going to kind of think, well, geez, is this worth my time or not? But as you know, most purchasing agents will actually schedule a half hour or maybe longer.
Well,
so
especially
if you
don't care. Especially
so,
if you don't care when the day is. If you just say, if you give them a date and they say that's not work, you say, well, when would be a good time?
Exactly.
And then now it's not a matter of whether they're going to or not. Now we're just deciding on the date. Hold on to that thought, Tom. We're going to take a quick break. Tom Anastasi is our guest. Dr. Tom Anastasi and I will be right back. 10 till.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Tom Anastasi. Tom, tell us how we can find you and your book, The Successful Entrepreneur.
Okay, the book, Amazon.com or GlenbridgePublishing.com. And my website is TomAnastasi.com.
So check it out. And it's just like it sounds, Anastasi. Tom, we're talking about this, getting this business out of the ground. And we got it incorporated. We decided what we were going to do about that. Now we went out and we're trying to scrape up some business, get some people excited about doing business with us. And one of the things you talked about a minute ago was tell as many people as you could about you and your business. One of the things I like to remind people about is in a small business, the good news is you don't have to conquer the world to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You only need every small business. I don't care what small business it is. Doesn't have to have everybody to do business with them in order to be successful. They only need a few, you know, relatively few customers to be successful. And so what I try to get people to understand is focus on looking for customers who are your profile customer, people who are less likely to do business with a big box company, somebody who really wants customization. Find those people and find out who they know who are like that and focus on those people. What do you think?
You know, that's absolutely right. You cannot compete with a giant corporation as far as price in lots of times or selection sometimes.
The price war is over, Tom, and we lost.
Right. But you can compete extremely well in customer service and attention and just valuing their business. And when it comes down to it, people are willing to pay a little bit more for that because they're getting a good value.
And what you just said is really important, Tom, because what happens is small businesses attract those people who love them, who like what they do, and then they still try to compete on price.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, you've got to charge enough. You've got to charge a higher price and get a bigger margin than Walmart because you don't have the volume.
Right, and you exactly,
and don't think that people won't pay for it because they will.
They will, and if you're losing money in every sale, don't forget you cannot make up loss in volume.
That's right,
and people will pay more because they're looking for value.
Everybody won't pay more,
right?
Just the ones who you need to find.
You'll have more than enough to sustain a very nice business.
Right.
And that's all that really matters. You're not going to overtake Walmart. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were $400 billion in sales last year,
yeah.
$425 billion. So, but find your core set of customers and love them and take care of them and make sure that they are the center of your business and the center of your life. And you're going to find if you're honest and you provide good products and services, then everything else will take care of itself.
And the great thing about today, Tom, that wasn't the case when I started my business and you started your business all those years ago, is you now have the technology. Most of it's available almost for no cost,
mm-hmm.
to stay in contact with these folks.
Oh, sure. And in the olden days, you'd have to do a mailing, and which was unbelievably expensive. Now,
so like 15 years ago, right? The olden days, 15 years ago.
Yeah. But now you can get people's email addresses and send out monthly, quarterly newsletters or promotions, and you've got a very small, select, targeted audience that loves you because they gave you their email address.
That's how you find out if they love you.
Yes.
If they'll give you their contact information,
yes.
That means they love you and they want to hear from you, and then you have the responsibility of being a good steward of their contact information, not letting anybody else have it and not abusing the contact.
Correct. And I found a lot of places are now starting to have Facebook ads,
yep.
and become their Facebook
right.
friend. That's becoming very popular, and it's free.
Another thing, make sure you have a website, even if it's just the basics of what you have, because local search, Tom, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Pepperoni Pizza in Peoria, that's an example of local search. People are using that like crazy on their cell phones. They're using it. If you don't have some kind of a web presence, you're missing a lot of opportunity from people who are trying to find you.
Sure, and there's a lot of services like GoDaddy.com, and which you can get a website literally for a few dollars
right.
a year.
Another one is Yola.com. They'll build you a website for nothing.
Yes, and these websites, they don't have to be monstrosities if you just have a home page and a couple of links
and your phone number and directions and your address. That's all you got to have. Hey,
yep.
Tom, I got to wrap it up. When you come back next time, let's talk about taking the next step, like hiring an employee.
Sure, absolutely.
Tom Anastasi, ladies and gentlemen. That's also his website, .com after that. Thanks, Tom, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away, though. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.